We're going to continue today. I'm really excited because as we're in this miracle season, this legacy season, we're talking about legacy. We're not just believing for a legacy, we're building a legacy for the glory of God. And so I want to talk and continue that series today. So as you remain standing, open your Bibles and go with me to Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to read verse number 16 through verse number 18. And when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper. It's the notes, the verses that we're going to be reading together, as well as the points to the message. And as you're turning there, I wanted just to make mention, as we're coming up with ideas to raise the necessary funds to close escrow, we're 128 days away from the close of escrow. And we're believing God to raise a necessary amount for the closing of escrow and the renovation of the funds. And we're doing what's called a legacy auction. And if you have anything that you want to auction off, somebody actually donated a Willie Mays and Hank Aaron signed memorabilia. Someone is saying, I want to auction off my cabin, my timeshare. And so what that does is people can then bid for that, and then the funds go towards the building fund. And people are like, well, I was going to go to a Laker game anyway, but you know what? I was going to go to, a cabin anyway, but I'll just do that and give it towards the kingdom. And so if you have anything you want to donate, there's a flyer. You can be a part of that, and then you can actually be part of actually on that. So let's believe God that this will be successful, and you can check it out there on the table. And we're going to have like a rodeo round of fun stuff. There's going to be some games and some food and all kind of fun stuff. But anyway, is God good? Yep. Y'all ready for the word? Okay, Galatians chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 18. And we're talking about legacy. Someone say legacy. We're not just believing for a legacy. We're going to build a legacy for the glory of God. And here Paul the Apostle is going to make a statement. And this is really a very key scripture that has become a really theme of my life. But here's what he says. Paul the Apostle says, and as many as walk according to this rule, he said, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, or God's people. But watch verse 17. He says, from now on, he's like, let nobody trouble me. Tell your neighbor, don't mess with me. He says, don't let nobody trouble me. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, listen, you know I belong to God by what has marked my life. Okay. Now, he's talking about both physically, but even emotionally, physically, because how many know if you're going to leave a legacy, it cost you something. It cost you something to leave a legacy for God. He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen and amen. And I want to talk today about that, about having the marks of God on our life. Because if we're going to leave a legacy, it all depends what we're marked by. And I want to make sure our life is marked by God. So I want to talk to you exactly about that. The title of my message today is Marked by God. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Today, God, we come not to a moment of just reading something that happened in history. We want to read how your story is a part of our lives, God. So Father, speak to us. Build our faith, Lord. Let your word minimize our fears, build our faith so we can live this life for you, and that we can leave a legacy for the glory of God. Lord, speak to us and allow me the grace to communicate your word to your people, that we may establish your kingdom upon this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. I always have you bug your neighbor. Just tell the person next to say, I'm marked by God. Let me not say, I'm marked by God. That's right. And I want to talk about exactly that today. I want to talk about being marked by God. Because how many know that when God marks you, you can run, but you can't hide? You ever try to run from God? You're like, no, Lord. And it's like an oxymoron, right? It's like trying to run from oxygen. You know what I'm saying? Like if you try to run from God, he will be where you already are. Like, he'll even be in the places you don't think he's at. I was like the fun that way. Like, you're there thinking, you're like, yeah. And God's like, get out of here. You're like, they let you in here? You didn't pay the cover charge? Come on, somebody, right? He'll tell your neighbor, say, he'll chase you down. Just say, he'll chase you down. I want to talk about being marked by God. Because being marked by God is so important. And we really live in a generation that is, if I can say it this way, especially in Western living, here in the United States, we understand marks or markings because we live in a very branding culture, okay? Very branding culture. What you're marked by matters. And companies, corporations will spend billions of dollars to have their mark or their branding be the top of the line. Like, y'all know the markings of Gucci. Mother's Day's coming up. Okay, all right. Okay. They spend billions for this mark, this brand, right? And it separates it from all other purses or what have you, all right? Louis Vuitton, billions for this mark, this branding, and people will spend, you know, lots of money to, and why? Because it represents a certain caliber, represents a certain style. And you might not know this, but actually the owner of Louis Vuitton, Christian Dior, Arnold Bernald, he has surpassed Elon Musk as the richest person in the world. Yeah, you might not know that, right? And so there's the richest person, all for a brand, just a mark, right? If it has that LV, it's a different level. It's a different level. It's a different level, right? Don't be buying me the Fucci, get the Gucci, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, whatever, right? You know, there's a certain marks, right? You think about the Nikes, right? It's a mark, or the Golden Arches. It's a certain brand, right? Unhealthy, just joke, right? It's a certain brand, okay? Like, there's markings, and they matter. Right, there's a reason why you didn't get the Schnikes. You bought the Nikes, right? Because you're like, the Schnikes will fall apart, or you know, there's a reason why when you go, you're, believe it or not, but you're wearing a brand right now. Okay, from the hair product, right, to the socks you're wearing, there's a reason you're like, no, I'm gonna choose this one. Okay, and because that brand, that mark represented something. Okay, it represented something. And I just want to go on record as saying, ain't nothing wrong, right? If you have that stuff, I'm just going to say, don't go into debt trying to impress people that don't care. Okay, come on. Just say a good amen right there. Okay, amen. All right. But the point is, like, that brand, stay with me here, represents a standard or a caliber. It's supposed to represent a certain level. And what I'm trying to tell you is that you can spend your whole life going after those marks. Just don't miss the most important mark. Come on, 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 come on. You can have the goal that could be like, well, I want to wear this brand or this, and you can be wearing it, but you're missing the most important mark. And in the verses we just read, I love it because Paul was like, y'all, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what my life is marked by. He's like, I bear on my body the marks that I belong to Jesus. I bear in my soul, in my mind, I bear in my life that my life has been marked by God. And I'm gonna tell you something, that does not come at a cheap price. And I think if we're gonna talk about legacy, and if we're gonna talk about what we leave for the glory of God, we gotta talk about what mark are we leaving in our family's lives. Like, what are we, if I could use this term, branding on them? What are we making the most costly, the most bougie, right? The most important brand in our family. And I want to tell you right now, you could put me on record and say, the most important brand, the most important mark is leaving Jesus in your soul and on your kids, kids, kids. Come on, somebody. Because you can leave them all that stuff. And again, nothing wrong with it. But if you don't leave them Jesus, they'll look nice on their way to hell. Come on, somebody. That's real talk. That's real talk. And it don't mean nothing. Paul says, I've been marked. I bear on my body the marks. And in the context of the verse that Paul is saying, these marks came at a price. Because he was actually talking about the persecution he went through to have these marks. He was whipped. He was beaten. The Bible says that, you know, he talks about he was stoned. With rocks, by the way, with rocks. Okay. Gotta know your audience, you know what I'm saying? With rocks, okay? Physical rocks, too, because I'm like, go another level, you know what I'm saying? Like actual ones that hurt, okay? All right. Okay, come on, somebody. That's how you know you really have mission field up in here, you know what I mean? So, gotta qualify, okay? So, you know, he talks about how he was persecuted for living for God. And I'm going to just tell you that if we're going to leave a legacy for God, you're going to go through some persecution. Like if I'm going to decide the Silva family is going to be marked by God, that there's going to be some persecution. There are going to be some people trying to drink haterade on you. They're going to get some hateritis. You know? They're going to be like, well, why are you doing that? And it's because I bear, these marks that are on my family of living for God, they did not come at a cheap price. You can't buy this one at Nordstrom. You can't get it on Amazon. You can't download this. This came. It cost me my life, y'all. Come on, dads. If we're going to leave a legacy of Jesus, it's going to cost us something. Let me try that one more time. Come on, dads. It's going to cost us something if we're going to leave a mark of Jesus on our children. I bear on my body, he said, the marks that I belong to God. Like it costs me something, a sacrifice, a laying down of my life, a saying no to that temptation, of not being that type of woman. Come on, ladies. I bear the marks, Paul said. This is powerful stuff. That I belong to Jesus. And those marks, they become, in my opinion, the essence or the if I could say it, almost the sigil of your family. That your family, when it looks to the inheritance, it says what we have did not come from this earth. My mama gave me an inheritance of faith. My dad gave me an inheritance, right? He didn't leave me much, but I'm trying to change that inheritance where now my children can say, my dad didn't just leave me stuff. He left me a spiritual mark that Jesus, come on somebody, come on. That Jesus, someone, tell your neighbor, say you're marked by God. And then the question is, how will we mark the next generation? Because you could actually mark the next generation the wrong way. You're leaving a family brand right now. Can I say it like that? You have a family brand right now. What's that brand? You have a family mark that we are imprinting that God says we need to be marked by him. Paul says this now, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. I like how the verse says it like this. It says, because legacy is what we're marked by. But verse 18, watch this. Isaiah says, here am I. He says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Okay. That's all of us in here. We all represent individual family units. And if you have children, you're saying you're in this church, but you're here with your children. This is your, that's your family legacy. It says, here I am. And then it says, we are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. In other words, he's like, my family is a sign and a wonder for God. That when people look on your family, they should have an appetite for the God that you're marked by. That they're like, I want the same God you have. The same God your family has. That we're not perfect, but you guys know how to still have hope even when things seem hopeless. You know, your marriage, that same God your marriage honors, where again, it's not perfect, but there's a stick-to-itiveness that y'all have a faith that you believe for what God wants to do. I want that same God. We are for signs and wonders. Come on, our lives should be a sign and a wonder that the world should be like, how did you do that? They almost don't even understand it, but it's because we're marked by God. Come on, somebody. We're marked by God, and others see that and desire that. And that's the season that we're in as a church. We're in a season where we're leaving a mark for God. And let me give you your first point. Write this down. I believe that if we're going to build legacy, we're talking about legacy. We're talking about, you know, really changing the course of what God wants to do in a generation. And I do talk generationally, and I do talk that there is still hope for what God wants to do. Then we're going to have to be a legacy family. Point number one, a legacy family is a family that's marked by God. That's a legacy family. It is a family that is marked by God, that you see the hand of God on that family. You see the touch of God on that family. Now, it doesn't mean it's perfect, by the way, okay? So don't misinterpret what I'm saying here. It doesn't mean that you went through life unscathed, because Paul says he bears on his body the marks that actually hurt. But it shows that God's hand is there. The world will scar you. God will heal you and mark you. Come on, somebody, with a testimony. Anybody in this house got a testimony of how God heals? I really want you to grasp this, okay? I'm not talking about a life that is unscathed. I never been through nothing. I don't know if you're for real yet. Okay? I'm talking about the for real people that are like, I had to fight for this thing. Oh, come on. I'm trying to talk to somebody today. That are like, no, you don't realize. Yeah. You see my kids sitting in church? I had to fight for this thing. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. You see me sitting right here? I know you might look cute and pretty, but you're like, you understand? I had to fight all of hell to get my mind. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about people that are like, I got a testimony where the devil tried to cut me, God marked me and healed me. Who am I talking to today? Legacy shows that I'm marked by God. Tell your neighbor, you're marked by God. If their name's Mark, say, I told you, just joking, come on. All right, okay. What up, Mark? Marcos, okay? So, this takes intentionality. Okay. Intentionality. Where if we're gonna legacy, okay, leave a mark for God in our lives and through our lives, then it's gonna take intentionality. The same way that someone try to mark your life with hell, you're gonna have to then be intentional to mark your life with heaven, your home with heaven. The same way someone try to mark your family with hell, you're gonna have to take intentionality to mark your family with heaven. And I'll say that the hell you went through ain't nothing compared to the heaven you're going to. Come on, somebody. Let me encourage somebody today. It's a light affliction. 1 Corinthians 4, it's a light affliction compared to the weight of his glory that's gonna come for all of eternity. Come on, just give God praise because heaven, come on, somebody, God will reward it. I bear on my body, Paul said, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could tell, every scar has a story, right? And he's like, I bear it. Like, you know, somebody, let me show you what happened. See what happened right here. What happened, you know? I had reconstructive knee surgery, and on my knee, I have a scar, but there's a story to that. Yeah. And I could sit and talk to you about how, you know, it changed the course of my life. And every scar has a story. That's good. When you serve God, sometimes you have scars, but it has a story that God heals, that God restores. That God, come on, God is the hero of this story. Come on, anybody marked by God? Come on, somebody. Anybody marked by God? Talk to me. It's a mark. Now I got to talk to you, okay? If we're going to talk about marks, then we're going to go a little deep right now. So put on your floaties, okay? We're going to the deep end of the pool, okay? Tell you never, put your floaties on, okay? Okay. There are two marks in the Bible, okay? Two. The second one is more important, but I'm gonna tell you the first one to set up the second one, okay? There are two marks in the Bible that speak very specifically of marks on your life. The first one is found, the second one is more important, but the first one is gonna set up the second one. The first one is found in the book of Revelation. It's revealed to us in the book of Revelation, book of revealing. And it talks about the mark of the beast. If you're taking notes, write this down. Okay, note takers are world shakers. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. Okay, the first is the mark of the beast. And in the book of Revelation, it reveals to us that the Antichrist is gonna try to mark people with the number 666. It's the mark of man, but it's the mark of Satan. And there is the mark of the beast that is gonna try to be on people's lives that represents the Antichrist. Antichristos. Christos, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It'll sink in, Jesus Christ, okay? Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is what's on Jesus. Christos means the anointing. Oh, Lord, come on, somebody. Okay, Jesus went to heaven, but the anointing still stayed on the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. So you gotta recognize what is anti-anointing, anti-move of God. And the number 666 is the mark of the beast. Now, in the end times, just so you know, is that the Bible says that the mark of the beast will distinguish who is of the kingdom of Satan and who is the kingdom of God. However, the Bible tells us that the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. You didn't hear what I said? It's already at work. So it's not gonna come after the rapture. It's already, just turn on the news, the spirit of the Antichristos is already at work. It is anti-anointing, anti-Bible, anti-orthodoxy of the scripture. It is against everything of God. It's already alive. In other words, it is already trying to mark you with the beast. God help me. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Okay, remember, floaties, we're in the deep end, okay? It is already trying to mark you. And I want to tell you that the final, listen, guys, listen. This thing's coming to a close. Did you hear what I just said? Like, I'm not one of those guys that, of course, Bible says, let me say that, the last prophecy that's going to set off the final 500 prophecies in the Bible is the prophecy of Jesus returning. That's the final prophecy. Every other prophecy has been fulfilled in the Bible. The one we are awaiting is where the Bible says that like a twinkling like an eye, it said like a thief in the night, that the sky will rip open, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and his church will be raptured. Come on, somebody. That's all we're waiting for, y'all. And it can happen right now. Don't get scared. Okay. We're going to disappear. And you can have my shoes. Go ahead. You can have my Nikes. There you go. Okay. Yeah. And it won't matter. Nothing's going to matter. But that's the final curtain call. That's it. We're all awaiting that. And the scripture says, listen, I'm not a scare you preacher. I'm just a Bible teacher. I'm telling you what the Bible is. Because the Bible says, Jesus told the people, he says, you're able to discern when the rain is coming, but you can't discern when the Son of Man is come. So, oh, I see clouds. Rain must be coming. He says, you got to discern. Oh, I see this thing's coming to a close. The Bible says that the earth will be like a woman who is pregnant, ready to give birth. He says, you will know the contractions. Any fellas out there know when your wife started having contractions? Sideways are like alien in the stomach. You're going to know because the earth is going to be like in pain. Look around. He says, you're going to know that the end is near. Remember, God's not going to tell you the exact time because he knows how we are. Because if he told you I'm coming back November 14th at 7 p.m., y'all be sitting until 6:59. Come on, somebody. Hurry up. Okay, go. Come on, somebody. God knows how you are. He already knows how you are, okay? He already knows. Live it up. We still got 6:59. Till 6:59 with 30 seconds. Some of y'all live on the edge. Anyway. Says, I'm not going to tell you. It's going to come. Now listen to me, because I love you. It's the final thing the church is waiting for. The Bible says that, okay, let me give you one nugget, okay? And if you like this type of stuff, you need to go to Bible college. We have a whole semester on end times, okay? Whole semester. But the Bible says that in the book of Revelation, that when the Antichrist comes, that two prophets will be murdered on the streets of Jerusalem. And it has this very unique scripture that says, and the whole world will see it. Now, when it was written 1,000 years ago, you go, how in the whole world is going to see two people being murdered on the street, two prophets being murdered on the streets of Jerusalem? Now, today, you can go live. We already have what's going to can fulfill that. It's... I'd do an altar call right now to get right with God. I feel the Lord right now. You'll have a chance right at the end of service, okay? But he's coming back. But here's the good news, because I'm not a doomsday preacher. You want to know the good news? The Bible says there's going to be a great harvest before he comes. Come on, somebody. He says right before he comes, there's going to be an awakening. There's going to be a pouring out of his spirit. There's going to be God saying, last call. What? Who will the last? God's going to say, I'm going to give you one last chance. And God says there'll be a revival that's going to sweep the land. And I believe that we are part of that last day church here in Southern California, right here in crazy California, to bring the kingdom of God. Someone shout amen. So God's going to say, last call. You know, some of y'all know that. I like to have fun. Some of you are like, what is that? Nothing. And some of y'all are saying, what is that? Because you like to pretend like, I have no idea what he's talking about. For sushi? For sushi. So, God's going to give one last call. One last call. Because they don't want you to have the mark of the beast. Because the second mark is more important. It's the mark of God. Oh, Lord. It's the mark of God. He said, my family, I'm not raising it to be marked by the devil, by the mark of the beast. I'm raising it to be marked by God.
Because the world, listen to me, Satan is trying to mark your family. Oh, he's trying to mark your kids. He's trying to mark your marriage. He's trying to mark your manhood. He's trying to mark your womanhood. Satan is trying to put a mark of destruction, dysfunction, of distraction on your family. But God is raising up some men. God is raising up some women that are saying, not on my clock. My family is marked by God. I said, my family, devil, you ain't putting no mark on this house. You ain't putting no mark. You might have put your devil mark on my grandparents, but you ain't gonna mark this family, because as for me and my house, we are marked by God. Somebody give God a praise up in this. Hallelujah. Tell someone you're marked by God. But listen, this thing will cost you. Paul said, I bear on my body the marks. I took some hits. I got some scars. Some people left me. Some people persecuted me. But I got the marks that I belong to God. Somebody, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it takes intentionality. Because how we know the devil's intentional? Very, very intentional. So is God. We have to have this. Well, Pastor Josiah, how do you know if you're marked by God? Ask me, how do you know if you're marked by God? I'm glad you asked that question. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, right? Well, how do I know? I mean, do I have the mark of the beast, or I got the mark of God? Well, how do I know? Because we're legacy people. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his third generation, and a good woman. Come on, ladies, okay? A children's child. So that means every man has to think three generations. Every woman has to think three generations, that my decisions affect the next generation. I'm not leaving generational curses. I'm leaving generational blessing. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Which, by the way, what does a curse mean? Curse is not from God. Curse means to be doomed to destruction. God doesn't curse. It's just that when you remove God, it's cursed. It's doomed to destruction. Come on, somebody. Does that make sense? So don't remove the light, or else you'll just create darkness. So we need to make sure that we're putting God in the equation. Say amen. So how do you know if you're marked by God? It's a good question. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through verse number 14. It says, let's go from 12. Let's go from 12. Put 12. Ephesians 1, 12 through 13. I apologize. I put 13 and 14. Let's go 12 and 13. It says, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in who? Christ, might be for the praise of whose glory? Someone say his glory. His glory. So I'm telling you the marks of a family that's marked by God, because a family lives for his glory. So if you got your pens, underline that. There's a mark right there, because it lives for his glory. It's marked by God. Because Satan lives for his own glory, we live for the glory of God. Say amen. So his glory. Then it says here in verse 13, it says, and you also, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, right? Death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel of your what? Underline the word salvation. How do you know a family is marked by God? Because it has introduced salvation into the family. Dad is saved. Mom is saved. We're working on the kids to be saved. And the grandkids to be saved. You're introducing salvation. Why? Because this family is marked by the salvation power of Jesus Christ. In fact, I declare, may you and your whole household be saved in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can clap right there. Amen, amen. Lord, may all my kids be saved. All my grandkids, if you tarry, be saved, Lord. It's marked. So as legacy families, we're always introducing the salvation of Jesus to all our kids. We're not trying to hide it. We don't know. I want you to know Christ like I know Christ. I've led two of my kids to the Lord. I got two more to go. Okay? I'm working on their salvation. Have you thought about your salvation, brother? Okay. I want to lead all my kids to Jesus. And the best way to lead your child to Jesus, you want to know how? Make them thirsty by your life. You'll never leave your children to Jesus if you don't make them thirsty for God by your life. Why would I want the God you serve if it's okay? I better leave it alone. Someone say salvation. Okay. The next thing, it says, when you believed, you were what? You were, come on, put the verse up there. You were marked in him with a seal, a sigil. And what is that? It is the promise of the Holy Spirit. A family that is marked by God has salvation and the Spirit of God. Salvation and the Spirit of God. I'll say it again. Salvation and Spirit. What does a family have that's marked by God? So you look and you say, is salvation come to my home? If salvation is not in my home, then it is not marked by God yet. I need to surrender my life to Christ. And I get if you're working on your kids, I totally understand, but you are, and then the second is the Spirit of God. Now, when it says the Holy Spirit is your seal, it is your mark, it is your branding, the Holy Spirit is on your life. This is not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It's talking about living by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, not led by the flesh. A family that's marked by God doesn't walk according to the flesh, it walks according to the Spirit. Like, we're a spiritual family because we shabba-ba-ba-ba-sha. You need to shabba-ba-ba-sha. But you're not being led by the shabba-ba-ba-sha. You say shabba-ba-ba-sha, but then in the same mouth you say, you're walking according to the flesh. A family that's marked by God says this house is led by the Spirit of God. Because we're marked by who? By God. You see, when your family's marked by God, there's this cool scripture. I know y'all love when we find nuggets in the scripture. Like, we love the word. Go check this scripture out. Because when a family's marked by God, there is a certain, like, touch of God. Go to Genesis chapter 4. Watch this cool scripture. Genesis chapter 4. When even Cain disobeyed God, there was such a family marked by God that watch what God does for Cain in Genesis 4:15. Watch this here. Genesis 4, put that next scripture if you can for my team. And then if you want to turn your Bibles there, you go there. But Genesis 4:15, the Bible says, but the Lord said to him, he says, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a what? On Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him. God was like, I'm gonna put a mark on you, Cain, that I'm not even gonna let anybody kill you, steal you, or destroy you. Why do we need a family legacy marked by God? Because I wanna put a legacy on my kids that, devil, you can't touch my children, because God will have vengeance on you. Come on, somebody. Because they're marked by God. The devil's mission statement is to steal, kill, and destroy. To try to steal your future, to steal your holiness, to destroy your family, destroy your marriage. He's trying to steal, kill. He's trying to kill the love. He's trying to even kill you physically. He's trying to kill your joy. And the Bible says, though, but when Cain was marked, nobody was allowed to mess with him. When your family is marked by God, how do you know if your family is marked by God? Salvation and you're like, nothing will come. Now, does that mean there won't be attacks? There'll be attacks, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Now, I'm not talking about you can go through life unscathed. You're going to be attacks. Me and my wife, my family, there have been attacks, and there are attacks that come. But I'm going to tell you what, when God says you are marked by him, come on, somebody. God says he will work all things together for the good. God says that you will be an overcomer. Why? Because your overcoming is God's overcoming. Your success is his success. Your healing is his healing. Your breakthrough is God's breakthrough. Why? Because I live for the glory of God. Sit. No longer I live, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified, Galatians 2:20. It's God, we surrender it all to you. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, be marked by God. Come on, Mark. Just kidding. This is a word for, if your name's Mark today, God was speaking to you. You're like, Lord, I was saying, if you're real, speak to me. And all that guy kept saying was, Mark. If the shoe fits, wear it. God puts a mark, but if I go back to Ephesians, it says, when you believed, that mark came on your life. Which means that mark is not automatically on your life. It comes to the believer. It comes to the one who decides
to say we're different. Let me put it to you in 2023 terms. We're not like that. Because we're marked by God. Like when you're at work, guys, and everybody's talking about how they're cheating on their wives. And you're like, I don't roll like that. I need to say that one more time because I didn't get a lot of guys say amen right there. They're talking at the water cooler about how they're cheating on their wives. And we're like, we don't roll like that. Thank you, fellas. I heard a lot of ladies say amen, and I don't want to get you punched at home. Okay. And the fella said, amen. Because I don't roll like that. They try to show you a picture that is not godly, and you say, nah, I don't roll like that. I got an amen from downtown. Thank you, brother. I hear Irvine. Amen. Come on. Because we're different. I'm not trying to fit in. We stand out. Because we're marked by God. I'm not trying to raise a family like that. I'm raising a family that honors God. Ladies, they're at work talking about, you know, he's a bum, and you know, just leave him, and you know, just whatever, and you know, it doesn't even matter. You gotta take care of you, you know? What about your needs? And you're gonna say, no, I don't beat up my man, I build up my man. And all the ladies said. Yeah. See? That was a lot louder than the other services. Good job, ladies. You're like, amen. Why? Because we're different. Your kids come to you and they give you that old liner. Well, so-and-so gets to. Yeah. And you're like, you're not so-and-so's kid. The Silva family is different. Put your own last name in there. We're marked by God because we're blessed by God. This is so important because if you don't work towards marking your family, the world will mark them. The Bible says that in the end times, which we're in, say we're in, because I don't want you to think the end times is some, no, it's already now. The end times is today. Okay? You're in the end times. Because remember, Jesus come back right now. In the end times, that the mark of the beast was going to be on two locations. My note takers are world shakers. The first location is that it would be, the mark of the beast would be on your forehead. The second location would be on your hand. Why? Because the mark of the beast is not just something, it's actually a thinking and a doing. Oh God. When you're marked by the kingdom of destruction and dysfunction, it is a thinking and a doing that is repeating a distance from the Lord. I don't got no 666 on my forehead yet, but the way you think is not building the kingdom of God. I ain't got no 666 on my hand. Yeah, but what you keep on doing is destroying what God is trying to build. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. It's already at work. It's already at work. It's already at work. I'm saying that because we need to take account for what we're leaving in this world for the glory of God. The devil's a ripoff. He's a copycat. He's Fucci. He ain't Gucci. He's Fucci. Literally, too. Fucci's. Yep. He's a ripoff. Because he always tries to do what God does, but he ain't God. Because the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy where we're supposed to have God's ways impressed upon. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse number 5. Watch this. These are like, I pray you write these scriptures down. Deuteronomy 6:5 starts by this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Stop right there. This is what's known in the Jewish faith. It's called the Shema. I'm teaching the Pentateuch along with our other pastors here in Bible college. The Pentateuch, this is called the Shema. This was the sigil or the statement of the people of God. that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like with this family, we love God. And this was a declaration that they lived by. But then watch verse 6. Go to the next verse. It says this. It says here, it says, impress. Go to verse 6. You can't. It says, next verse, team. Here it comes. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your what? Your hearts. Verse 7. It says, impress them on who? Your children. So stop right there. That right there today is revolutionary. Because we live in a day and age that tries to say, don't let the kids tell you who they are. The devil is a lie. The Bible says, no, you tell your children, impress on them who they are and how God created them. Can I get a better amen from the house of God? So no. We're not gonna tell our kid, today I feel like, no. God made you a boy, you're a boy. God made you a girl, you're a girl. The Bible made two genders. Genesis 1:27, male and female. Okay? That's what the Bible says. Okay. Pastor Josiah, what's your view? I have no view. I only obey his view. Okay? Amen. All right. In today's age, you'll have to have marks for Jesus for that. He says, impress them on your children. Our kids, I have to disciple them. Let me tell you how we honor the Lord. Let me tell you how we live by God's word. And this takes us impressing them on our kids. Now, the question is, well, how do I impress them on our kids? The Bible's good stuff, and I think sometimes we overthink it. Any overthinkers in the room? I'll raise my hand. This is how you impress them on your kids. Watch this, especially if you have kids right now. It says, watch this. It says, talk about them. Put the verse up there if you can for me, team. It says, impress my children, talk about them when you sit at home. Okay, everybody look at me. You want to know how you teach your kids God's word? Talk to them about it. Just talk to them. Have a conversation about the things of God in their lives. Talk to your... How many got teenagers? Raise your hand if you got teenagers. I got a teenager. I pray for all you right now. Sha-ba-ba-ba-sha. Come on, somebody. We're starting a teenager fast. Let's end it together. I got a teenager. You have to talk about it. Say, talk about it. Okay? And I'm learning. But I know one thing. I had a friend of mine. He had raised some great kids. Not perfect. But, you know, they had an appetite for God. And I said, tell me, you know, give us a nugget. He says, what I did is I just kept my kids talking. As soon as they went silent is when I got worried. Kept them talking. What's up? What's going on? So I love talking to my kids and, you know, my teenager and also my soon to become a teenager, my daughter, my aunt. Just talk. And you got to talk about the real stuff. Come on, parents. Okay, don't just talk about stuff. Talk about the real stuff. I got to tell my kids, like, so what do your friends talk about? Because if I say, how you doing? Good. No. So what do your friends talk about? What they show you on their DMs. Hey, now. Talk about it. And how do we live? How do we honor God? Right? And how do we do that? Talk about it. And have these conversations. Well, what does God say about this stuff? You cannot parent silent. When you're in the car, the Bible says here, it says when you're at home and when you walk along the road, right? What does that mean? When you're driving on the road, turn that music down. Rolling in the street at my 6.4. Turn it up. We don't want 6.4 right now. Talk. Your daughters, your sons, communicate. It says when you're along the road. Then I like this, just when you lie down. Notice how this is so simple. When you lie down, talk, pray. Like, I beg you, listen to me. I am begging you. If you have kids that are still at home and they have not, you know, moved out, I am begging you, pray with them before they go to bed. Oh, my Lord, I am begging you to carve out 5 minutes, sit at the edge of their bed and say, what can I pray for you about? That will revolutionize a young generation. They will look forward to those moments. I'm begging you, dads, moms, good night. And please don't tell me, I'm pastoring you, okay? Don't let their phones put them to bed every night. I got one amen from downtown. And all the youths gave me the stink eye. You know? Like, look at what we're doing. We're letting that put him to bed. And then you're on the same social media. Come on, somebody. I know I love you. But how are we going to have a family marked by God if we're being marked into our minds and our hands? Put it away. Put it away. Go pray. 5 minutes. It might turn into 10. It might enter laughing. These will be the greatest memories your kids will have. That you had a, yeah, go ahead. To God be the glory. Come on, come on. Marked by God in Jesus' name. Next Sunday, Pastor Marie's going to preach Mother's Day. She might preach the rest of my points. She'll do it better. Just joking. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll follow this back up in 2 weeks. But I want to tell you this. There is a generation, a final harvest that's coming to God, that's going to be marked by God. And I believe God is setting Freedom House Church up to leave a mark for God right here in crazy California for the glory of God. To see souls saved, His Spirit move, to see signs and wonders, to see miracles, to see curses be broken. Come on, to see addictions fall, to see families turn around. Why? Because you're marked by God. Your mind's gonna be marked, your mouth's gonna be marked. Come on, your soul is gonna be marked, your generation will be marked. Listen to me, not by no brand, but by heaven, by God. Why? Because we are marked by God. Somebody give God a praise up in this house. Shout amen.